Honey, there's a seat in the front.
Hey guys, there's a seat in the front.
But good, thank you. There's a seat in the front.
I thought you were gonna give me a hug.
Why would I wanna do such a thing?
I don't know, just the hopeful thought.
Jack, are we on? Okay, turn your Bible with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And as you can see, the next book we are going to study is the book of Joel. How many of you guys studied the book of Joel? Good. I mean, it's in-depth study. Any of you? Very few and far between, because it's not one of those popular books. But please read ahead. Book of Joel is one of the most interesting books because it's written for different country other than Jews. So, we'll start at chapter 3, verse 1. But before we go there, we have to acknowledge couple's anniversary, 25th anniversary today. Barbara and Jack's wedding anniversary. He's got to be a saint. Huh? Tomorrow is our, tomorrow is Renee Hemby's birthday. Yeah, she's a 22. Let's start. Not very long after Roe versus Wade, Supreme Court decision is made. The group of people, angry anti-abortionists, start taking the law, taking the matter into their own hands. They decide that they're going to harass abortion doctors, they're going to set a fire in the abortion clinic, and they're going to throw a bomb in the abortion clinic, and they would murder the abortion doctors. In the name of rescuing unborn children. To say this, some of you are thinking, does it mean you're against pro-life? If you've been around with me, you know where I'm standing. Of course, I'm for pro-life. I'm anti-abortion. If we really understand the meaning of abortion, we wouldn't just let it go that easily. However, I am against the bombing the abortion clinic. I'm against the murdering the abortion doctor, and under whatever their problem is, under whatever the reason is. Because it gives them a fuel to push their own agenda and make a terms favorable to them. Now, do you know U.S. Marshal protects Planned Parenthood? Because the very reason these people did. What should we do for this kind of thing? My suggestion, which I get ignored quite often, is that pray for them. Let them come to know Jesus, first of all, and let them see that abortion is a murder. When they realize that they become Christian, they will stop what they're doing. And when there is no abortion doctor, when there is no abortion patients, guess what happens to that clinic? It shuts down. It's simple strategy, but many people ignore it. Somehow they think they have to do something. I'm not against doing something, but not killing, not bombing, not setting the fire, not arsoning. Bible never teach us about the civil disobedience. Any of you need the Bible does not teach civil disobedience. As a matter of fact, it teaches us the subjection to those authority over us. And our role is submit to our leaders and to be a good citizen unless the law is directly contradicting to what God says. If that's the case, we ought to obey God instead of man. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, we are going to find out what we are supposed to do, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and seek you and to be the good citizen of this earth, to represent who you are to the people who don't know you. Let us be equipped with your word. Let us be equipped with the mercy and compassion and love that comes from you to these people, and they may see Jesus in us. Let us ignore our feeling, but let us be attentive to your will. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Remind, on the line, would you please remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility, underline humility, please. Remember the humility? What was that Greek word that we studied? Any of you remember? Humility? Tupos. And to all men, for we ourselves were also once foolish and disobedient and deceived and serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Christians were often overlooked during this time, the Roman Empire, because they were different people, and also they were kind of people who kind of people that they was get together in private setting worship. See, they are told to be the good citizens, and but they cannot compromise. They have to be a good citizen of Roman Empire. However, they cannot compromise their faith in Christ Jesus. Their neighbors, and of course, the pagan, will probably disobey, but Christians are supposed to obey the law of the land. Our heavenly citizenship does not make us the excuse from the responsibility as a citizen on earth. Oh, I'm so guilty of that, because I have a tendency to have that lead foot as soon as I get in the truck. And then I push that pedal a little farther than I should, and it goes over 5, 10, sometimes 15. Especially around the territory the sheriff department hangs around. Because I know I can get away with that kind of thing. And I shouldn't do that. And I try to be on the speed limit, but some people just go a little too slow for my blood. Anyway, we are to obey the law of the land. I actually underline this grammar according to Greek text. It's remind is a present tense. That means continuously reminding these people. Go on reminding. Titus was to constantly remind these people, his flock, that you are supposed to stay in course. You're supposed to obey the law almost every day, because these people were accustomed to disobey the law. And remember the Clayton, the area that he's pastoring? Claytons are lazy gluttons and drunkards and liars. What those people do? Disobey the law. And because those people became a Christian, and of course their bad old habit is still there. And God is telling, Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling his spiritual son Titus, continue to tell them, keep the law. If you noticed, people who are hateful tend to be looked down on other people, and because they think that they are better than other people. We just sang a song, God loves people with humility. People who say that they are humble, they are not really humble. If they are really humble, they wouldn't tell you they are humble. And people who often I'm finding out that those who are rich tend to have that stuck-up attitude and look down on other people, and they are the one who is hateful. Of course, they don't have a humility. Verse 2, let's go back there, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable and gentle and showing all humility to all men. This is a Christian motto. This is a Christian guideline how we should react and how we should act around people. This is a good manner we should keep. We just read that this verse 2, they speak evil of no one. What would that be in one word? Gossip. Exactly. In other words, we are not out to gossip about somebody and spread a false rumor when there is no shred ounce of the truth. You could just think. And that's, well, let's face it, sometimes church is a gossip pit. They talk about this person, and then they talk about add more, and it goes around and around. Unless you can verify, do not gossip. If somebody tell you, you know so-and-so did this kind of thing, aren't you surprised? You ask them, do you mind if I check with that person about this matter? And tell them, I'll tell that person, you told me this. Most likely, they will stop. Go ahead, take a seat, guys, since we already started. Gossip needs to be stopped. Remember that there's an acronym I told you about. What was that? Think, isn't it? THINK. Think. My mother used to tell me that. You gotta use your brain. You have to think instead of just hang your head on that brain. T stands for is it true? Before you spread the word, check if that fact, that whatever the things that somebody you heard, is it true? H stands for, is it helpful? I stand for, God bless you. I stand for, is it inspiring? N stand for, is it necessary? Is it necessary to repeat it? Is it necessary to tell other people about it? K stand for, is it kind? Let's go back. T stand for, is it true? Is that word, is it true? If not, stop. H stands for, is it helpful? Is it going to help somebody? If not, stop it. I stand for, is it inspiring? If it's not inspiring, we should stop. Is it necessary? If it's not necessary, if you're like me, most of the time I get in trouble with my mouth. So don't say it. K stands for is it kind? If it's not kind, best not to talk about it. Just extra note and no extra charge for that one. Since we are in the gossip subject, let's talk about email. Okay? Ever since the email came, we have the capability to spread the word. A matter of click, click. Especially this forwarded email. Don't you just love that forwarded email? You can't even see the content because it is a forwarded by, and there's about this long list of forwarded, and there's a content on the bottom. And most of the time it's a stupid content anyway. Before you forward it, check the source. Okay, folks? Check the source. If that whatever the content is true, put it through that filter, think. True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind. If it stops, don't send it, don't forward it. For example, remember this guy? What happened to him? He died, right? He died. He got killed by playing with the stingray, and he was poisoned by this stingray. He got killed. I received an email. Another pastor said, "Well, I heard that Steve Irwin received Jesus Christ into his heart a few days before he died. Is it true?" He was inquiring, not really spreading. Yeah, this he did this, so he was not passing. It's not true. Somebody made up. Do you know who made it up? Christian. Christians are notorious when it comes to the exaggerating and making spiritual things when it's not true. Folks, when you get the forwarded email where you are not so sure if it's true or not, go to www.urbanlegend.com. Urban Legend. U-R-B-A-N. Legend, LEGEND.com, Urban Legend. There's a lot of things that you can clear. And guess what kind of email is top of the line as hoax? Christian emails. It's a shameful thing. Apostle Paul reminds us of what we were like before Christ, reminding us we were wicked people. Now, we are supposed to be different. Remember, once we live in the fallen nature, we are still close to the fallen nature. Our nature is, as we prayed, it's not that difficult for us to sidetrack and go back to that the fallen nature. So we have to be up and up and take guard. Verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man, appeared not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through, on the line, the washing of the regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through the Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, He should become the heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. The more I read about Apostle Paul's letters, not just Titus, and any of his letters, this guy can jam-pack the theology in one sentence. Did you notice that from verse 4 to verse 7 is one sentence? And in that, he talked about mercy of God, compassion of God, love of God, and deity of Jesus Christ, salvation. And if that's not enough, he talks about the depravity of mankind in filling of the Holy Spirit. How can one sentence can hold that much doctrine? But he does. He's just good. Of course, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why it makes a difference. Again, Apostle Paul is reminding us, note that verse 4, when the kindness and the love of what? God of our Savior. This is the third time this word came up. Can anyone, pop quiz, can anyone tell me the verse in chapter 1 mentioned the same thing? God our Savior. Come on, pop quiz. 3. 7. 3. There we go. Here. No, it's not a bookmark. Stop it, Barbara. She is a bookmark monster. How many bookmarks do you have?
Too many.
Too many. All right. Verse 3 of chapter 1, verse 13 of chapter 2, and verse 4 of chapter 3, they all mention God, our Savior. And in chapter 2, you even see God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why am I talking about this? This is a great verse, great place to go to when we talk with the Jehovah's Witness. They tend to say that Jesus Christ is not God. Well, there you are. How clear can it be? Jesus Christ, God our Savior. Now, justification, we just read, the justification is the gracious act of God whereby He declares the believing sinners righteous because the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what the justification is. Remember the progress. God justified us, sanctified us, He will what? Glorify us. He cleansed us, He continually cleansed us, He declared that we are cleansed. What are you talking about? We are saved by the grace of God. That's the justification. He says, okay, because of my Savior and my Son, Jesus' blood, and because He accepted my Son into His heart, He's declared as sinless. He's perfect. While we are living in this earth, we continually sin, and we continually ask God to forgive us, and He continually sanctifies us. Once we either we die or we go to heaven by rapture, whichever it is, when we glorified, He said, you enter into the realm of the kingdom of heaven. You are glorified, you are sanctified, we are justified, we are declared sinless. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of His atoning sacrifice. Now, not only we are forgiven, He forgives our sins, but He, what does He do? He forgets our sins. So He doesn't remember that we are sinners. Isn't that this wonderful thing? God sees us and He sees, I know what you're thinking about me, but when God sees me, He thinks I'm perfect. Whether you like to admit that or not, when God sees me, He said, Juno is perfect. How about that? Eat your heart up, guys. What is the result of kindness, love, mercy, and grace? Hope. Hope in God. We can have, because of grace and mercy and compassion, love of God and grace of God, we have that hope in Him. Eternal hope. That mentioned in the chapter 2, verse 13. Let's go back there. Chapter 2, verse 13. Let's start from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings us salvation that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That is sanctification, folks. And looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a glorification. I know, the preachers get excited for this kind of thing. In verse 5, we see in the washing of regeneration. Now, have you ever heard the baptismal regeneration? The word baptismal regeneration? And some, just in case you haven't heard that word, is that baptismal regeneration means there are a group of people believe that one of the qualifications of salvation is being baptized. How many of you guys heard that story before? Some of you have. Is it true? No, it's not true. Isn't a baptism a human effort? Remember what the formula we studied time after time from the book of Romans, or throughout the entire gospel, or the Apostle Paul's letter. Grace plus human effort equal what? Nothing. That's not a salvation. Grace plus nothing equals salvation. If we can add anything on top of the grace of God, that is not salvation. So if we say, well, I got dunked, I got sprayed, whatever, that's a work of man. Some denominations said if you didn't get baptized, or they even pushed it, if you didn't get baptized by our denomination, you are not saved. Where do you find that? And people buy this kind of garbage time after time. This is the one of those verses they go to insist the baptism of regeneration. It's because they said the washing of the regeneration. What does it mean? Is this this washing, what does it mean? In context, it's a spiritual cleansing. And you may say, well, do you have a Bible verse to back it up? Well, of course I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't talk about it. Ephesians 5:26, please. You guys know me better than that. Ephesians 5:26. Let's start from verse 25. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Here's a punchline. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by what? The Word, the Bible, the voice of God. Spiritual cleansing can be done through the Word of God, not being dunked in the water. By the way, side story. When the high priest or the ceremonial cleansing by the Jews, do you know what kind of ceremonial cleansing water they use? It cannot be the hand... it cannot be any water that the man's effort got in. In other words, they have to have this certain area and rainwater gets in there. And the water stays in one place for a length of time, what happened? It becomes bad. And algae stuff gets in. That's their idea of cleansing, ceremonial cleansing. So they take off the clothes and they get into that stinking, dirty water and come out. They say that they are cleansed. Wow. I don't call that cleansing. All right, let's go to verse 9. But avoid the foolish dispute, genealogy, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the devised man after first and second admonition, knowing that such a man is warped and sinning and self condemned. Note the word self-condemned, please. And you might want to write it down, self-willed man make themselves self-condemned. Self-willed men make themselves self-condemned. If you're like me, I get distracted easily when I try to do something, and I go outside to do yard work. And I had one particular thing in my mind, but I find something else, so I start doing things, and I do some completely different things. By the time, a couple hours later, I haven't started the other thing yet. So what do? I'll say, oh, there's the next week. Or the Troy will come by. Stupid question, stupid thing to say. Anyway, we tend to sidetrack, leave the important thing alone. What is the most important thing in our lives? Seek first the kingdom of God. How do we seek the first kingdom of God? Through our prayer, through the word of God. Communion with Him, communication with Him. Do that first, and the rest of them will fall in. That's what we just talked about, Marilyn and I, this, but before we start. When we start to seek first kingdom of God, rest of them start to fall in. I'm sure you can count on at least a couple of people who love to argue with you when it comes to theology. They have their own agenda. Please don't name those people's names. We might compare the notes. We don't want to do that. So we know a few people who like to argue. These Jewish people at that time, their idea of pastime is the hanging around with this Old Testament character, and they come up with an imaginable genealogy. So one guy argued, said, "Well, no, I think he had this kind of genealogy." And some other rabbi or somebody else come up, "No, I believe he had this kind of genealogy." Nobody can prove either one. But they're arguing. Instead of spending time at home, being helpful to family, being available to family, and or to go to work and be diligent at work, they rather argue with the stuff. We still have the same kinds of people. And they argue with you, especially when it comes to theology, and they will argue with you until their face becomes turned red. And when they start to lose their argument, they become really upset and yell at you, and they start to act like a non-Christian. They try to tell you they are the one who is spiritually mature, but in reality, they are the one who is spiritually immature. Remember I told you about the salvation, eternal security of salvation? I'm not going to argue with you about that. So I told you that I don't even come talk to me. So far, nobody did because they know where I'm standing. Speaking in tongues, same issue. Let's not argue for that kind of thing, but choose the hill you're going to die. Deity of Jesus Christ, virgin birth of Jesus Christ, those kinds of places, you stand firm. Rest of them, small hills, don't make a molehill out of mountain out of molehill. You know what I mean. We wish we didn't have this problem people in the church, but they are still there. What do we do with them? And the Word of God says, first and second admonition, and after that, reject them. Reject this divisive people. Just simply reject them. Don't even talk to them. Knowing that such a man is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. Remember what I said? This kind of self-condemned man make themselves, self-willed man make themselves self-condemned. You don't have to do anything. Just walk away from it. Don't get into the argument that goes on and on and on. Again, I'm going back to the eternal security. What makes you and I can settle the score that it's been going on the last 500 years? None of us can. I said to somebody, both sides agree with the person who are truly saved or never don't lose the salvation because that person stayed the course. Both sides agree that those who go end up in hell because they denied Jesus Christ. The problem is the one who received Jesus Christ and walked away from Jesus Christ. It's a matter of, in my opinion, it's a matter of expression. Why argue? There's other things to talk about. There's other things to pursue. Don't get into argument, please. I heard about the news. Some of you guys heard that around 9/11. This is the fifth year they had a memorial service at the Temple Emmanuel. Is that correct location? They said interfaith service for 9/11 memorial service. When the people get old, they yell at TV. I was doing that. I was yelling at TV, and as if the anchor man can hear me. And I said, that's a bogus. What's such a thing as interfaith? What Christian got to do with a pagan religion such as a Muslim and Mormonism and Buddhism? Why do they even share the ground together? I can understand interdenomination within evangelical churches. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Foursquare. Yeah, we have a difference, but do we believe in the same God? Yes. Do we accept the deity of Jesus Christ? Depends on which denomination of what denomination of Baptist or the Presbyterian. Yes, majority of them, yes, we agree. I don't have a problem getting together. As a matter of fact, I had lunch with some of the pastors in the local. Yeah, exactly. They're good people. Like our neighbor, River Church or River of Life Church. Yeah, they do little strange things, but they're good people. They're men of God. But not interfaith. So if you have that kind of some event, don't even come talk to me when it comes to interfaith over my dead body. Verse 12. Do you think I'm making it rather clear? Verse 12. When I send Artemis to you, Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis. For I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos. I wonder if he's an ambulance chaser. Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. I think Apostle Paul is a southern guy here. Grace be with you all. This little small size letter has the dynamite element inside. Folks, don't forget those three verses. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 4. Jesus Christ, God, our Savior. Let it sink in your heart, deeply engraved in your heart, that declare that clearly the deity of Jesus Christ. Let's make an application. Application number one, speak evil no one. I'm just quoting the verse 7 of chapter 3. Speak evil no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. In other words, don't be stuck up. Avoid the foolish disputes, genealogy, contention. Now, I'm again quoting the verse 9. Genealogy, contention, and the striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. I think Apostle Paul is making very clear to us. So, next book of Joel. Please read ahead. We're going to start from next week. Book of Joel is not big book. You can read it in one sitting. It's good for your soul. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us stay in the course. Let us speak no evil of no one, and peace be peaceable and gentle and showing all humility to all men. Yes, there are people who rub our nerves, against our nerves, but once we were saved, let us seek the first kingdom of God and depending on you for the rest of the things. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.